First Corinthians chapter 12. That's New Testament, Brother Ray. Oh, he's got an offering plate in his hand. What am I looking for now?
Money.
Oh no, I said money. All right, Brother Ray, go ahead and ask a blessing on the offering, if you would, please, sir.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time to meet with you. Pray to thank you for the, everything you've given us, Lord. Pray to just bless this offering. Pray that you can help us to hear and do your word, Lord, not just listen. And pray that we can use it for your honor and glory.
Amen. So y'all know that I'm a mess, right? Don't say it, Brother Ray.
We know it.
Brother Scott, leave it alone.
We know it.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. I'm looking for my Bible, so I left my Bible up at Brother Doyle's, right? And I had my Bible with my music. Now, Miss Jamie did not go with me, so that's probably the biggest problem that I have. I didn't have her around with me to. And my Bible is at Brother Mike Carson's place at Northwood Baptist Church there in Clare. Good church, by the way. I got to meet Brother Jim, the pastor, and boy, he's a good one. And I want to yoke up with that brother. But anyway, so Mike's got my Bible this morning. It's got all my notes in it. And this is my little Bible, and I don't have any notes in it. So y'all forgive me for that, but I've been a mess. We found the music. Oh, glory to King. I don't understand how my music and my Bible got separated, though. The devil did it. That's all I can say. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've been looking at gifts. Gifts. Look at verse 4. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. So the triune Godhead you're seeing here. Now our God is not a three-headed monster. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You are body, soul, and spirit. You're three persons also. So don't give me that three-headed monster and this and that business. The Lord Jesus Christ is a physical manifestation of God. And we see God's working and the triune Godhead working here in this of the giving of gifts. We see that the Holy Spirit gives the gifts. The Lord Jesus administrates the gift. See, the Lord Jesus, He's in charge, beloved. With everything that's going on politically, with everything that's going on in our nation religiously, and just, I mean, just craziness going on. Just absurd and Sodom and Gomorrah, a city of the plains kind of craziness. It's a Israeli craziness. I mean, these folks just saw the Red Sea go up as a wall of water, and they crossed across it on dry ground, and then they get to the other side, and they say, Moses, you brought us out here to die of thirst. Moses, you brought us out here to die of food. They had just seen God work, and in less than 3 days, those idiots were already discounting what God can do. And then we see that in Psalm 78 from the famous Message of God Can by Dr. Seitler. We see in there the question, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I don't know about you, but I've seen Him prepare a table for me and my family when we had nothing. I know He can. And so we can get ignorant with our own flesh. We can become moronic by nature. We can become like the lost. And it's crazy how crazy the lost man or lost woman is, and the leadership that they will follow. But understand this, Lucifer's a lot smarter than you and I. And he's been doing this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. The only individual that's smarter than Lucifer is God. So with that in mind, he knows how to finagle philosophy and wisdom, or quote unquote worldly wisdom and knowledge. He knows how to do this so that people will be deceived by these things. There's a lot of people upset in the LGBTQ, TRSV, whatever, idiot, that wicked demon. And by the way, I believe it's very devilish. We are seeing devil possession, I believe, in that. And with that in mind, they're upset. Because the Muslim Brotherhood mayor, that the airplanes on 9/11, that's those people, is he has banned all those pride flags in the city of Dearborn. They're upset with him. Wow, we can't put a pride flag up. It's just amazing what our world is all about and what they're doing. Now, with that in mind, the Holy Spirit gives those gifts. And you know people that have those gifts. Now, we've mentioned many of the gifts here in verse number 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another of the knowledge by the same Spirit. Wisdom, we notice that there's a difference that God brings out here. Knowledge is basically a very functioning wisdom. Whereas there are some that have that are very wise, even at a younger ages, you see a lot of wisdom. I think there's been some very wise people around me, whether it be Brother Johnny Johnson, whom you've never met. You'll get to meet him in heaven. But Brother Johnny had a wisdom. He had that country sense to him. And that's what I liken this to. For example, if the stove is hot, don't touch it kind of wisdom. And there's a lot of people that are willing to touch the stove. When Jamie and I go into a store, she wants to touch everything. And, oh, I like that fabric. And you know what's really bad is she's influenced me because there's certain textures I don't like. And anyway, it's weird, okay? It's weird. But there's that kind of wisdom out there. You know, there's a lot of people that don't have that wisdom. There's a lot of people. You get that. Thanks, Rachel. The smell aisle? Oh, my word. She's weird. Brother Ray, did you know about all this? Anyhow, they are perfect for each other. But I won't go into detail on why they're perfect for one another. Anyway, so there's those gifts. Verse number 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. There are those that have a stronger faith. And for those that are weaker in faith, we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, number one, the Holy Spirit. But then life also grows up your faith as you go through this and as you go through that. You see God bring food to your house. We had some corn brought to the house, and praise the Lord for that. We have seen in the past this happen and that happen. The other night, a meatloaf magically appeared on my stove when I got home, and I ate about half of it. No, I didn't eat half of it. I probably ate a third of it, but it was really good. God takes care of us. There's been times you've been in places and you had a problem, and God provided someone to help you in that struggle. By faith, there's the gift of faith, and then to another, the gift of healing by the same Spirit. Now, we talked about that this week. In the Bible, we see those that have been arose from the dead, whether it be Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus in the New Testament, and then we see that happening with the apostles. There are some gifts that are not like they used to be. Remember, they didn't have the Word of God, so to prove the gospel and to prove the truth, God would do miracles through the apostles. Now, is that happening today? In some form, it is. There have been miracles done, but it's God doing the work. There have been those like Dr. Roth, my doctor, and Dr. Wickelpleck, godly men, Dr. Mesko, that have helped put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I'm thankful that God's given them their wisdom to have. And I always, you know, my thing is with my doctors, are you going to do it standard, the American standard of care way, or are you going to do it the righteous way? This American standard of care that's out there is garbage. It's garbage. It'll kill people. And we're finding that out with Dr. Fauci, which we already knew. I know I've done funerals from those that took the vaccine and died. Now we're finding out we were right. I hate being right. My dad used to say that. And Dad would say this and this and this, or Pastor Charlie would, and then it would be right. And I know Pastor Charlie many times from the pulpit, beloved, he'd say, forgive me for being right, but this is it. And I remember some of those idiots in church would say, well, you just think you're always right. Let me tell you something, Christian. You're in this Bible and you're letting the Holy Spirit teach you. You're going to be right a lot more than you are wrong. And that's the truth. And that's what people don't like. I love my grandkids, but I am seeing, and it breaks my heart because my kids know what creates a believer. A believer doing right for God, and they're going the opposite direction. And it breaks my heart. Such foolish people, willing to listen to a mom or dad or to willing to listen to this individual or that individual who has absolutely no spirituality to them whatsoever. But they'd rather follow that foolishness as to follow the wisdom and the truth of God's Word. In these healings, today God has given doctors, and there are some good ones out there, but this standard of care is such a mess. Now, as we get into this morning, in this same verse, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, verse 9, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. Now, in this idea of miracles, we have seen the last couple weeks that's God doing it through it, whether it be Acts chapter 3. When Peter looked at the lame man and said, gold and silver have I none, but let me tell you, I do know the Lord Jesus, and he did tell him to get up and walk. That's what needed to happen then. Does that happen today? No. And I made mention last week, it's not a blowing on of the Spirit. Ah, la, 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 la. Like this moron, whether it be Jesse Duplantis or Kenneth and Gloria Copeland or the Benny Hinn's of this world. That's nothing but devilish foolishness. Are there miracles still happening today? Absolutely. Absolutely. God does it. Yeah, if you're breathing, that's a miracle. Hey, if you've been saved by the Lord Jesus, you're a miracle. You can't save you. We looked at Wednesday night that salvation is not do-it-yourself salvation. It's you don't save you. You don't work to save you. You don't do cartwheels down a church's aisle to be saved. So with that in mind, we want to get into the others, and I want to try to finish them up in this week and next week. But he mentions here in verse number 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. First of all, gifts given for the health of the church. These are gifts that are given for the health of the church. It's not just yours to wield however way you want. It's not yours to put it in the back pocket. It's not yours to hide it away. It has been given for the health of the church. Every one of these gifts, there is a time and a place for each one of them. As I've mentioned to you before, and it made some people mad, but when I came here, one of the first statements I made was, look, if you've got a better idea, I want to hear it. Please, I don't know everything. I need your help. If you want me to do this or that, or we need to get this done or that done, then if it's something I don't understand, I need you all to explain it. Why is that? Because we're all humans. We don't know it all. And that's a struggle, I know. But all these gifts are given for the health of the church, to see the church grow, to see the church at being ministered to. And by the way, Christian, if you've been saved, you've been given 5, 1, 5, 10, 12 different people that God's put in your life to minister to. And every chance you get, you especially if it's your children, hey, God's in charge. God knows. You need to follow after Him. My mom had talked to my son Micah, and he come up and he was a little miffed. I said, what's the matter? Oh, Grandma's preaching at me. I said, that's one of the wisest women you've ever had in your life, and she's 1,000% right. He says, oh, I know she's right. I said, then stop pushing against the conviction. Be convicted and just get right. Oh. I've had another one of my sons say, every time we have this problem, you always bring up God. That's the only answer. Jesus Christ is the only answer to every problem. So that's for the health of the church. Gifts given for the giving of the gospel to the lost. These gifts are given to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, if you've been given a gift, and this is where Brother Mike's grandson got mad at me and his granddaughter, because if they've been given a gift of music and are not using it, beloved, that's sin. If you've been given a gift and you know God gave it to you and you're not using it, friend, and God gave it for the health of the church to give the gospel to the lost, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, then that gift is being used or not used in vain. If you have a gift, as Brother Scott does with mechanical devices, or, hey, I've been given a gift with duct tape. And torches. Many of you have been given the gift of sowing. You've been given the gift of cleaning. You've been given the gift of figuring things out and been given the gift of laughter. Been given this gift. That is all for the health of the church, for the lost to hear the gospel, and for there to be glory given to the Lord Jesus. So we come up, this first gift that we look at in this verse is a gift of prophecy. There in verse number 10, to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy. Now this prophecy can be two different things. Number one, it can be the prophesying of future events. Daniel, Moses, and the fact that the Messiah would be given. Isaiah, not only future events, but the Messiah is coming. Chapter 7, verse 14, and chapter 9, in his name's 9, verse number 6. We see the 70 weeks of Daniel. We see the prophecy of the Old Testament prophet, Jeremiah, Micah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, and anyway, all these different Malachi. That prophesying. We see the prophecies of Brother Paul. He says, I would have you not to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that sleep. And how the Lord Jesus in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, He's coming back. And by the way, that's not happened yet. I had a gentleman try to tell me that the 70th week has already happened, blah, 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 and God's done with Israel. And I said, sir, the Bible teaches the 70th week hasn't happened and God's not done with His people. So there's a lot of those things. That prophecy has been given. The Lord Jesus gave us prophecy. He said, in the last days, there'll be Antichrist spirit. And boy, if that's not the truth. You know, it seems like everything propagated by the lying news media. And by the way, I don't find any of the news media. There's some independent news guys. There's a weather guy that I'll watch rather than watching our weather. Because these weather people on Fox and CBS. Listen, friend, were we supposed to get the rain? Yep, did we get it? Nope. Have we got it? Well, it's a 50-50 chance. That's because you don't know. And I love it when God does that. Because He proves to man how fruitless some of our research is. Have y'all ever been in Florida and you can see a patch of rain and then no rain? You can be on a country road in the state of Florida. I'm thinking right now the Ocala National Forest. We were driving along and there's no rain. All of a sudden you get into about a half mile stretch, it's just rain. And then you get out of that and for the next 5 miles there's no rain. And in Florida, it comes down like sheets of water. Now here it kind of, you know, it comes down, it's a little bit different. But we've done that in Michigan, have we not? Listen, beloved, God wants us to understand that He's in charge of our today and our tomorrow. Not everyone has been given the gifts of prophecy. I don't know future events other than what the Bible teaches. That's what I know. Silly thing. Now, what other parts of prophecy are there? Well, we have future events are given to us by the Lord through the apostles. They didn't have the Bible. Remember, they didn't have what we have. Things were different in the book of Acts in that the miracles and the prophecy and the different things that happened is because they did not have the Bible. There were things that had to happen so that God could show Brother Paul or Brother Peter or some of the other disciples that this is the truth that's being preached to you. Today, we have a prophetic, the prophecy that's given is the preaching of the Word of God. And there are a lot of men that stand in the pulpits today. I heard a message. It was okay message. Beloved, the books, the first chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation is to the church. Can we take those practical principles and give it to the individual? Yes. But we have to understand that's given to the church. And it leads, first of all, with the pastors. There are pastors out there teaching doctrine, independent Baptist churches, Bible churches, Christian churches, all these different churches, where the doctrine is absolutely anti-Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Things being said that had on me. I dealt with a pastor last Sunday when I drove up. They have this idea that Jesus could have sinned. I've told you about that. I have been running into that more and more in the last 5-6 years than I ever have. God is holy. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. He cannot lie. He cannot sin. Well, but you know, he was put in a human body and this and that. He's God. He cannot sin. God is holy. There's nothing else that can be said or added to or taken away. Brother Mike and I were talking about it, and I told Brother Mike, I said, that's fighting words. To tell me my King James Bible has errors in it, that's fighting words. To tell me that my Lord and Savior doesn't save by grace, that's fighting words to me. Hey, to tell me that, for you to come up and want to say something about my wife, hey, them are fighting words. But even more so, you want to talk about my Savior who for 51 years has kept me saved, who saved my soul in August of 75? You want to talk bad about Him? You're liable to get a few teeth knocked out. Literally. I remember sitting there and I told that pastor, and Mike and I were sitting there, brother, He is holy. And I'll fight a man that thinks otherwise. And I hate to admit it, but I can. I can ruin your day in a heartbeat. And I don't want to. But physically, to me, those are fighting words. And we miss that. That's the preaching that we say, Pastor, well, we're not supposed to have that spirit. You better have that spirit. He teacheth my hands to war. Now, in the same breath, I understand to have love and compassion for that brother in Christ that might think that. But I can tell you right now, I'm going to look him square in the face and say, listen, you're absolutely biblically retarded. You're wrong. Jesus Christ is the Savior. He is holy and He is righteous to make me holy and righteous. He couldn't sin. Now, with that in mind, that's the preaching of God's Word to the saved. Yesterday, this gentleman is what they call an American nationalist. They don't put any value in the New Testament. They think God's done with the children of Israel. And he asked me what the gospel was, what I thought the gospel was. So I just started taking him through the New Testament. Lord, and of course, when he said that, I said, Lord Jesus, help me answer this. And Bible verse after Bible verse after Bible verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the death, burial, and resurrection. And over 500 people saw the Lord Jesus alive, ascending, Acts chapter 1. The disciples all saw Him. Mary saw Him. His own mother saw Him. Everyone saw Him. Matter of fact, we have the dead getting up out of graves going into town. We have the veil that's been rent in twain there in the temple. And by the way, friend, there is more evidence of Him being on this earth than there is of evidence of you and I having been on this earth. That's the preaching of the Word. So I told Tim, I said, Tim, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive and He saves by grace through faith. Yeah. Nothing else. Amen. Well, I don't agree with you. I said, brother, it's not a matter of whether you agree with me or not, but you're going to have to agree or disagree to God Almighty. The gospel's in the Old Testament. Where's that at? So begin to show him a couple verses. Now he's accountable. And believe me, cultic lost people probably know more about the Bible than you and I do. And I said to him, I said, well, let's just take for instance, let's just for a moment, I want you to think. If God's Word is right and I'm right about what God's Word says, what are you going to do with that? Seventh-day Adventists, you want to talk about total annihilation, that when you die, that's it. Hey, what if, and I'll say to him, what if this Bible and what I know it's in this Word is true? What are you going to do with that? Jehovah's Witness. I always ask him, I say, well, are you a part of the 144,000? Isn't it amazing? There could be 3 or 4 million Jehovah's Witnesses and only 144,000 are going to be in heaven. So that means you're what? Out of luck. Beloved, that's the gift of prophecy. And we are, listen. We have a small number in our church house because you have a pastor that refuses to get away from this Bible. I'm never going to ask for forgiveness. And anybody that wants to leave, you know where the doors are. But I don't know about y'all, but I want to stay as strict, as believing on what God's Word says before I worry about where your offering goes. What you think of me. I want to have kindness and compassion. Brother Jeffcoat was up there. Hey, there comes the bear. I said, Brother Jeffcoat, come on, man. Brother Mike said, the bear? I said, yeah, I've earned that nickname. You know, I said, I'm a teddy bear. Ask my wife. I'm just a big teddy bear. Ask my church family. I'm just a big teddy bear. My grandkids don't think so. I got one grandkid that he's just a goof. I don't know what to do with Thad. Not one hug yesterday from him. That breaks my heart. The mom and dad are teaching him that. That's where he's learning it from. Learning it from the other grandparents that are godless. Just breaks my heart. But with that in mind, that's the gift of prophecy. There are some of y'all know your Bible. By the way, you ought to know more Bible than the preacher knows. Know the book. Thank you, Brother Tab. Know the book, David. Know the book. Study the book. Read this precious King James Bible. You know, we can stand up and it's King James Bible and it's King James Bible. If nobody's preaching from it and studying from it, that's where you get all the, that's where you get the gold, silver, and precious stone. That's where you get the answers. That's where you get the hope. That's where you get the calmness. That's where you get the comfort. That's where you get a righteous life. It isn't anything that David says. It's what God's Word says. We need more preachers that are willing to stand and give the truth rather than these flowery messages. I heard a message Sunday night from brother over at Highland Hills Baptist Church, Brother Matt Leithley. If you knew his background, he preached a message on the hand of God, tracing the hand of God in the book of Esther. Probably one of the best messages I've heard in 51 years of being in the church. And I told him afterwards, I said, it's good to see the growth in a man of God. And then I said, that's probably one of the best messages I've ever heard. And that really helped my heart. Thank you, brother. I did tell him, so we're going to have to talk and maybe get together. But anyway, that's the gift of prophecy, and I'm out of stinking time. Ugh. Stupid clock. Well, let's get started on the next gift, and we'll kind of it's self-explanatory. Look at verse 10 again. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. Now, my dad and my pastor had this gift. And I pray I have this gift, and I believe I do. I'm trying to put this in church words. You can smell the stink on somebody. That's discernment. Correct? Did you know that in the Old Testament, that if the nose was broken or out of place, he couldn't serve in the temple? There's a listing over there. If someone was had a broken nose, if someone had was a dwarf, they couldn't. And if someone was, there's a listing over there. And one of them was this, which is what? Discernment. Have y'all ever been in a place and you could smell something but somebody else couldn't? I was in a Christian school in Phoebe, Mississippi, and I'm walking through there with the pastor, and I said, hey, y'all, why does that have a formaldehyde smell? That pastor turned around, he looked at me, he says, that's exactly what we've been smelling for the last couple years. I said, there's something wrong in your air handlers. There may be a chemical you're using around here that's not correct. You're getting some kind of a reaction here and reaction. He said, man, I've never thought of it that way. Don't you love the nose of a mom? She knows exactly what baby just had a blowout. Amen? Y'all ever been around some of them girls, that ladies or whatnot, that maybe aren't moms, and they don't notice or smell something? Have y'all ever had a baby that was colicky or had some kind of infection, and you could tell from the breath on their, what their breath smelled like, as to what type of, what was going on? Have you ever been sick and the doctor said, hold out your tongue and, you know, he's not just looking at the back of your throat. He's smelling. That's discernment. A lot of people don't like people with discernment. Why is that? Well, you can't be a fake. You can't. Listen, we're all hypocrites, okay? We all put masks on. We all try to be something that we're not. I mean, I'm still wanting to be John Wayne. Right? When I go out to play golf, I want to be Tiger Woods. When I'm in the gym working out, I look in the mirror and say, yep, Arnold doesn't have this much muscle. But that's who we are. Matter of fact, we see that in the scriptures with Jezebel. She's up there painting her face like they would paint an idol's face. We all try to pretend to be something that we're not. That's hypocrisy. There's a lot of that going on. There are, I know right now, there are men behind pulpits today taking monies from a church and ought not be pastors whatsoever.
Right.
Charlatans. There's no such thing as a woman pastor, by the way.
Right.
There's no such thing as a woman preacher. Although I can tell you right now, some of the women in my life, the ladies in our church, I love y'all. Y'all have got some good stuff to say. My mom's always reminding me that Jamie's smarter than I am. I said, Mom, every day I wake up, I know she's smarter than I am. But there's some things, yes, that her husband's right about. I seen an Iranian woman, and I think I told you about this, and I'll be done, on YouTube, and I follow her. She's an Iranian. She came over a few years ago. She's legal. Her and her husband live here. And she came on there and she's crying. And she said, I want y'all to know that my husband is... And then began to explain that the Democrats, she's voted Democrat and how wicked and horrible they are and this and that. But I want to say that my husband is... And then she went on how that this Democratic Party has accepted... the Muslim ideas and this and that and socialism and communism. By the way, there's really no difference between socialism and communism, okay? There's not. And that's not what our country was built on. Anyway, finally she said, my husband is right. Why is that so hard? We're going to look at that in the morning message. But God's always right. And we even have a problem with saying that. In discernment, there are those that you need in your life that can see the deceiver. Because you'll be deceived. That's what a commercial is all about. I have seen one lately for some kind of gambling lottery thing. And they set up some dominoes. And if you hit one over, then all of them are going to go over. And you're going to be wealthy and rich for the rest of your life. Angelic choirs sing. Gold falls from the heavens. They came up and they put a cloak over you. And they make you feel so important. Ridiculous. I'm reminded of a fellow that won the lottery there in Jacksonville area. And the news had him on there. And they asked him, so sir, now that you've won this, and I don't remember how big it was, but it was millions, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to go down and I'm going to buy me a new double wide. He didn't realize it, but he had won enough money, he could buy the double wide factory. You need people in your life with discernment who are willing to tell you what you don't want to hear. Father, thank you for Sunday school, and I pray it's been a help in Jesus' name. Amen. How's our battery there, buddy?